Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 22, and it's Chiefs Week, as the Steelers seem to perennially play the Chiefs, even though they aren't in the same division. And that, of course, will be a nationally televised game at Heinz Field at 8:30. Dave, and the question is, who's going to be playing for the Steelers? Because there is a long injury list.
Boy, can you, I probably once a year or so we go through this. People tend to have short memories sometimes, I think. But, you know, I think at least once a season we go through this thing and wonder, geez, you know, they're going to have too many even for the inactive list. That, you know, probably some people aren't going to dress, and then, you know, some people that normally probably don't dress, of course, will just because of the bodies needed. And obviously, we're recording this a little early on Friday, so the Friday injury report isn't out yet. Maybe it'll be out by the time we close this thing down. I kind of doubt it, though. But after Thursday's practice, it was reported that Cody Wallace, Cinquez Golson, Robert Golden, Ryan Shazier, Ramon Foster, Sean Davis, and Eli Rogers did not practice on Thursday. And Cody Wallace, of course, has not played yet this season. The same goes for Cinquez Golson. And the other guys, you know, the newly injured guys, Golden, Shazier, Foster, Davis, and Rogers, it'd be shocking if any of those guys played, I would think. Especially, you know, maybe Golden would probably have the best shot of the group, but the hamstring, you know, that's going to be tough for him to come over. So there you go. There's your regular inactive list right there of seven players, and we haven't even gotten to the rest of the guys.
It's rough going for the Steelers here, and they've got two positions of serious need now: offensive line and safety. And let's start with the offensive line. Cody Wallace practiced Wednesday a week ago and hasn't practiced since. So, you know, this knee is taken, you know, knee hurt in the New Orleans game. So it's now been 6 weeks for Cody Wallace. So, you know, we'll see. You just kind of hope that he and Rosie Nix are making progress here, because you're not going to see either of them again this week. So those guys, they've been the long-term guys that haven't made it back yet. So, okay, they're there. They're on one side. Then you got the five guys who got hurt in the game. I'm with you, Dave. There's not a chance in hell any of these guys are going to play. I said from the beginning that they'd all be done. Robert Golden with the hamstring. It's just, you don't come out of a game on a Sunday with a hamstring injury where you're ruled out in the first quarter and play the next week. It's just not, you know, hamstrings just don't heal that quickly. And in fact, I'll kind of say that I'll be a little bit surprised if he can play next week. Sean Davis is a mystery. We don't know how bad his back was, but he's out because he hasn't practiced all week and he doesn't have any experience. You could probably put Golden in somewhat the same category. The other three guys, we'll see how they go. Eli Rogers, I'm sure, is going to be a semi-long-term injury. Shazier and Foster, just guessing. Now, the thing that happened yesterday is apparently our boy B.J. Finney hurt his finger in practice, and it's his ring finger. And so it looks like Chris Hubbard will get the start. Now, you know, if Finney can't, again, it's the same kind of conversation we had last year with Ben Roethlisberger. If Finney can't start, is there any point in dressing him? I mean, he's an emergency guy. Do you have to wrap his hand up and club it so that it's, you know, so he doesn't do damage? I mean, I don't know if he tore tendons or what he did, but as you might imagine, it's pretty darn difficult to be an offensive lineman if you can't use your hands. I mean, that is the key to the position. So if he's incapacitated in that respect, it's a huge problem. And if that's the case, they will make a roster move in the next 24 hours. And my guess would be Steven Johnson's the guy who's most vulnerable on the roster to be waived to move an offensive lineman like Filer up from the practice squad. That's the obvious move. I don't think they would move anybody else. But, Dave, it's not pretty. at those two positions. And, of course, we talked Wednesday about Jordan Dangerfield getting the start ahead of Shamarco Thomas. So either way, the Steelers are going to have two guys making their first start, one on defense, one on offense, with either Hubbard or Finney and Dangerfield on defense.
Boy, what a mess this was. This is and became bigger, you know, on Thursday with B.J. Finney. You will have to see what the injury report says later on this afternoon, whether or not Finney's able to practice at all. You might have to just dress Finney regardless, you know, just because.
Well, yeah, you might be able to dress Finney regardless. It won't matter, right?
Right. I think, Cody, guys that you absolutely know, there is no way in heck they could play a snap in an emergency situation. You obviously don't dress and put on the inactive list. So I think you're looking at Wallace. I think you're looking at Cinquez, probably Robert Golden, Ramon Foster, and Eli Rogers. Now, here's the thing with Sean Davis. If Sean Davis is at least able to go maybe in a limited capacity on Friday, and even though he doesn't know, probably know the scheme very well, and probably you don't want him starting because the rest of your inactive list is so long, maybe you just put him in uniform and keep Sean Davis over there on the sideline. And the kind of the same thing maybe with B.J. Finney too as well with that finger. You kind of wrap it up and dress him and just hope nothing happens. The problem is now, Chris Hubbard. If he has to start at left guard, I'm not excited about that. And on top of it, Chris Hubbard becomes your backup center to Marquise Pouncey. That's not something to really, obviously you don't want any backup center in there, but I much rather would have B.J. Finney over Chris Hubbard. And then, as you state right now, it only looks like you have six healthy offensive linemen, so we'll have to watch Saturday – by around 3 o'clock to see if Matt Filer is promoted from the practice squad to the active roster. That'll be a good sign to as to where they think maybe the health of B.J. Finney is, because I'm willing to bet he's not. I'm betting Finney at worst is ruled as doubtful on the Friday injury report. And as you said, if you do have to call Filer up. Do you really want to cut a guy like Stevie Johnson too, especially when you got Shazier not going to play this game? And even though Lawrence Timmons, appears to be good to go, he's kind of banged up for this game as well too. So you could really use Stevie Johnson on special teams.
Yeah, I can't think who else you would waive from this roster today or tomorrow ahead of Stevie Johnson. I mean, Matakevich plays the same position. So I guess he's the other guy in the conversation. I mean, I don't think they're going to waive LJ Ford or LT Walton. So if they have to do it, they're not going to waive any of the linemen. So I don't know where it would come from. I can't see it. So
the only other way is to put someone maybe like Cody Wallace on IR if you don't think
right.
And
that is the other way. That is the other way to get a spot. You say one of these. You say Eli Rogers isn't going to get better for 8 weeks or whomever it is, and you go ahead and make that move. So that would be the thing to watch for. And obviously nobody's hoping that, and again, we haven't talked about this, but you better be evaluating where Cinquez Golson is in his recovery. Is it realistic to think, and maybe he's a guy you say, we rolled the dice, we didn't win, he goes on IR. So I think that practice time for him the second half of the year would be incredibly valuable. So that's all the things they're evaluating. And I think Stephen Johnson, the good thing is, he gets through waivers, of course. Nobody's picking him up on a Saturday, and you just re-sign him Monday. So that's my guess how it plays out.
Well, here's the thing. He's not even subject to waivers, so.
Oh, right. So, yeah, you don't have to even have to worry about that. So you just tell him, hang around. We'll get you Monday.
Right, exactly.
It's your game check.
Exactly.
So let's do the inactives. Let's just – Cinquez Golson is one. Eli Rogers is two. Cody Wallace and Rosie Nix are 3 and 4. Ramon Foster's 5. Ryan Shazier?
Yeah, Ryan Shazier is 6, probably.
Is 6. And then, then you could pick amongst all these injured guys what you want to do with any of them. Or, Mettenberger, what do you want to do? I mean, you want to give him a helmet because do you have nobody else to give one to? or do you want to sit him as seven, and so you've got a couple of guys standing on the sideline, so you don't expect to play, but, you know, Golden standing there, Finney standing there, and everybody who hasn't played this year gets, you know, who have been the healthy guys who haven't dressed this year? Steven Johnson, and has anybody else not dressed again?
LT Walton will dress.
Oh, yeah, LT Walton will dress, and obviously Mettenberger. Those three guys have not dressed this year. They're all pretty, you know, those two, the other two guys are definitely dressing.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to see some guys getting some helmets that normally don't get helmets this week. And, you know, LT Walton can maybe help you on kickoff return or something like that. You know, you're not going to do much with him. Obviously, you're not going to do anything with Mettenberger, but, you know, you might as well dress him if you've got – Like I said, the guys that you know absolutely you do not have a chance of playing, those are the guys that you put on the inactive list, you know, and you named them. Cody Wallace, Golson, Eli Rogers, you know, probably Shazier, and Ramon Foster. And then from there, you just kind of, you know, click down as to far as who do you think might have an outside chance in an emergency situation to play. You know, guys like Sean Davis, maybe a guy like B.J. Finney. So it's gonna be an interesting look. I mean, let's face it, they're gonna go into this game with about 42 healthy players, right?
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of. I guess I forgot that we haven't really talked about this, but I'll just reiterate what I've been saying on my show for the past couple of days. I'm surprised, and I would imagine some of our listeners are, that Jordan Dangerfield got the job ahead of Shamarco Thomas. I don't know. None of us probably spend much time looking at the depth chart because I'm not sure how meaningful that is. But I would have assumed, and I've said this, that Shamarco Thomas's skill set of being able to play around the line of scrimmage, a box safety, a guy who can run and can run with backs out of the backfield and do things like that, I would have assumed his skill set, even if everybody was healthy, he might have been a guy who got an opportunity. Well, how wrong was I? Because it doesn't look like not only is he going to not get an opportunity in the nickel, he's not going to get an opportunity in the dime in a situation where you've got two defensive backs at his position hurt. So damning for Shamarco Thomas in terms of what his playing status is. And we'll see with Jordan Dangerfield. None of us have seen him play a down. So that'll be interesting to see, Dave. But were you as surprised? I mean, we talked about it Wednesday. We even talked about it Monday. Were you as surprised as I was?
Yeah, I was. It is very, very damning. I mean, obviously, you know, I'm not there at practice, and you really wonder about the X's and O's, you know, about the football smarts when it comes to Shamarco at this point in time. I mean, he's athletically gifted. Now, he's obviously not good out in space, but you know, I wasn't suggesting that you play him deep anyway. I want him inside the box. I want to use him more as a linebacker than anything else, you know. But look, I mean, Jordan Dangerfield's a big hitter as well too, right? I mean, he can play in the box. I heard some, you know, kind of some people pontificate that, you know, Jordan Field because he can play. Dangerfield because he can play. You know, deep a little bit better, and because Mitchell can play in the box. Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think you'd much rather want Mitchell as your deep safety anyway. And you know, I think a guy like Jordan Dangerfield is a guy that you'd probably want in the box more. But you're going to see some two deep safety situations. Maybe Jordan Dangerfield just knows what the hell's going on a little bit more than Shamarco Thomas. And if that's the case, man,
I think that's absolutely the answer. But I 100% agree with that.
And that's really sad when it comes to Shamarco. You would have thought. I mean, you hate to go back and continue to throw mud on the situation about the draft pick and trading up to get Shamarco. But boy, it really really looks like a bad selection now. I mean, you basically got you a special teams guy for all that time. So. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think it's obvious that Dangerfield has gotten the snaps so far in practice, and now, I mean, look, you don't want to have to. I mean, you want to be able to run some dime in this game, so I think you're going to see William Gay shift inside. You know, we've heard the reports about Justin Gilbert probably going to get some playing time in this game as well too. So you're probably going to have Gilbert and Artie Burns on the outside and Gay. on the inside. I mean, you still have Cockrell. You can play outside as well too. It's going to be interesting to see how indeed they get Gilbert his snaps, right? I mean,
clearly they're going to play Don with four corners. So where do you use them? Are they going to put them outside and move Cockrell in? I can't really see that. So they're not going to, sure as hell not going to move Artie Burns inside. So I'm curious to see if they, if they line him up over a tight end or exactly how they use him, because he is an outside corner. I mean, he's a true corner, and that's where they're going to think about him long term. So maybe they move Cockrell inside and have him play a little bit of a different role, but that will be something to watch and pay attention to on Sunday.
Do you play a lot of quarters? You know, it's flat.
I think you probably are playing quarters, yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot more quarters than what we normally see. And, you know, now here's the thing. We saw him play quarters early against the Eagles. And say, you know what, Dave, one play that I thought in that game against the Eagles that it really nobody talks about, but that throw that Wentz made to, who was it, Matthews, in front of Cockrell on third and long early in the game.
The 19-yard dig route. Yeah,
you know, that was against quarters coverage there.
Yes,
and that was a big throw for Wentz, in my opinion.
It was a huge play in the game. I mean, you know, third and 12, you convert that, you step into the pocket, you make a perfect throw on a, you know, that's a tough pass for Cockrell to defend. I agree. That showed me something with Carson Wentz, right?
Yeah.
Just stepping into that throw and delivering.
It let him kind of settle into the game, if you will. And, you know, remember going into the game, I kind of thought, yeah, I want to kind of see him have to throw the football down the field a little bit. Look, he didn't throw the football down the field a lot during that game. But when he did, for the most part, he seemed fairly accurate. And you know, that pass not only kept that drive alive because it was a long third down play. I mean, they ended up getting points out of that drive. And to me, that was a big, big play in the game, even though it wasn't a scoring play or anything like that, because it kind of settled him into the game and showed that he could kind of read what the Steelers defense were doing. But anyway, back to the original thought there. Yeah, I think we will probably see some more quarters in this game. I mean, I'm excited about, as most, is probably just to see what you have in Gilbert, getting him on the field, and how they utilize Jordan Dangerfield. But rest assured, I mean, there's going to be a lot of different bodies out there.
Yeah, it's always fun to see new players. You know, the caveat being you want to pick and choose when you see them, not out of necessity. And obviously for the Steelers, it would be out of necessity in this one. So, Dave, attacking the Chiefs. The issue now for the Chiefs that we haven't really gotten to is we don't know exactly what their situation is at corner, because Peters, and who I loved coming out of Washington, but obviously we talked a lot about his character issues, being suspended from the team, and Gaines have both not practiced yesterday. So they've got some issues. Their defense was obviously very good against the Jets. They, you know, you create 8 turnovers and bring 2 back for touchdowns, you're probably going to win every game you play. If you do those types of things. So that's question marks for them and attacking that defense. And I saw you tweet last night about AB. Yep, Peters is not a guy who historically has moved from that left side. So the Steelers, just like they did against Josh Norman, they'll be able to put AB on the side that he normally plays, which is the Steeler left side, and have him go to town on the other guys. Could be an opportunity. We thought it was going to be a huge opportunity last week for the Steeler receivers. AB put up numbers, but it wasn't. We'll see if they can do it this week.
Yeah, Dave's fantasy tip for the week is if you have Antonio Brown on your fantasy team, start him.
you can only get that on the Terrible Podcast.
Yeah, that's
or Twitter.
That's my lead pipe.
Keen insight.
Yeah, that's my lead pipe lock of the week of the century. Right there. Listen, Marcus Peters has missed 2 practices now with an illness. Is he going to play? Yes, he's probably going to play. But, I mean, for a guy to miss 2 practices, that's not good for a young player. I mean, he is Marcus Peters, yes. But and as you mentioned, too, we don't expect him to follow AB around the field. So he's going to probably be on the left side of that Chiefs defense. And here's the big thing. You got a guy like in Philip Gaines who has gone – the wrong direction. He was limited on Wednesday. He failed to practice on Thursday. When is that ever a great sign with a player with a knee injury? So
we saw that with two guys. We saw it 2 weeks ago with Cody Wallace, and we saw it with Marcus Wheaton with the shoulder. Neither of those guys played.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see what the practice report says for the Chiefs on Friday. But, I mean, are you going to have – I mean, Steven Nelson – remember Steve? I liked Steven Nelson coming out of Oregon State. I really wish the Steelers would have picked him, but he's going to be your – you know, already was going to see time in a slot, but now he, you know, who knows what they're going to have to do if Philip Gaines can't play. In other words, I expect Antonio Brown to screw these guys into the ground like a top. I really, really do. And if they dedicate and roll these coverages up over AB with these brackets and you know, trying to play half. Quarter coverage or anything like that, it's really going to open up things up on the other side. It's going to open up the middle of the field to a guy like Jesse James and Le'Veon Bell coming out of the backfield. I mean, if there was a perfect storm for the Steelers offense to get back on track, I would think this is it, because keep in mind, the Chiefs only have three sacks so far this season. One of them came very, very late in the win against the San Diego Chargers. They haven't been able to get after the quarterback. They're not going to have Justin Houston. Tom Bahaly, but this is not the same Tom Bahaly from a few years ago. Their pass rush just is not, when you look at them on tape, it's not overwhelming. And this Steelers offensive line should be able to handle that and force them to blitz quite a bit. And if they do, Roethlisberger ought to light them up.
Yeah, we'll see. Ben's got to be smart with the football. And Dave, one of the things that I can't remember who tweeted it out, and I guess it's probably we think about this stuff, but when you see some of the numbers, they're so stark. It's Ben's home and away numbers, how different they are over the past couple of years. Well, what do you attribute that to?
The Steelers' home and away numbers?
Ben's home and away numbers.
Oh, Ben's home and away numbers. Man, that's a good question. I mean, it's not like it's awful, though, right?
I think it's like 42 touchdowns, and I mean, I'm not going to get this just right, but something like 42 touchdowns and 7 interceptions and 18 touchdowns and 17 interceptions. It's stark.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I would have to go back and study that a little bit more in depth. I really haven't paid much attention to it, to be honest with you. I mean, look, how many of those games were him coming off of injuries? You know?
Yeah, I'll have to find the exact numbers, but it's just something, you know, you just wonder the comfort zone, I don't think it's the crowd, and it's not, you know, you can't point to weather consistently or anything like that. It's just something that I wouldn't have expected to see with Ben. But, you know, it has been the case. He's going for his fifth straight game at Heinz Field with three touchdown passes, which would I think four is he's already set the record. So that's it. That's what he's trying to do Sunday night. And I'm with you. Look, they have a chance to get after this defense. And, is you know, we've talked about everybody but Le'Veon Bell, and it'd be fascinating to see how they use Bell. Mike has said, you know, there's no, you know, they're not easing Le'Veon Bell back in. We both said, I think, on Wednesday that we expect, you know, 25-plus touches for him in this game and right at it. And we'll see now with the injury to Eli Rogers, does that mean Le'Veon Bell gets to line up in the slot at all? Will they line up D'Angelo Williams split wide? You know, how many times will they go with the two backs on the field? Obviously not a two-back set. So a lot of chances for Todd Haley to improvise in this one.
Yeah, I think we're going to see Williams and Bell on the field maybe, what, five plays? Is that the over-under, five?
Yeah, I'll take over on five. I would say 5 to 7. So, yeah, I'm in the same area.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth a shot to do that. And Mike Tomlin said as much on Tuesday about how they're not going to ease Le'Veon back into action, and nor should they. I mean, this guy, you know, showed during the preseason he's in shape. he should be good to go. And I, like I said the other day, I'd get that football into his hands 20-25 times through the air and on the ground as well too. And look, this Chiefs defense can be run on, David, as well. So if you're able to run the football a little better, it's going to set up the play action. I mean, yada yada. I mean, there really is a perfect storm for this Steelers offense to get back on track.
Okay, Steelers Nation, mortgage rates are currently at or near all-time lows. And if you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, contact our buddy Craig Oxen from First Advantage Mortgage. Craig's a lifelong Steeler fan and Pittsburgh native. He's a nationally recognized lender that would love the opportunity to help out Terrible Podcast listeners. You can call Craig today at 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471. Or apply online at blackandgoldlending.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. Dave, the other side of the ball with Kansas City is Alex Smith. And as we heard from Adam Teicher the other day, this offense has not moved the ball. The backs have some decent numbers, but I think he said four of their five touchdowns came in – offensive touchdowns came in a 20-minute span against San Diego. So – you know, the blueprint's out there for teams that want to watch, you know, how to take the Steelers' defense apart. And I don't think it's just the Eagles who put the blueprint out there. I think you can see plays that worked against the Steelers but weren't executed by the Skins and the Bengals as well. So, it, to me, the big challenge is going to be, did we really over-evaluate or get too excited about the Steelers' defense after the first 2 weeks? Did we kind of buy into our own hope that they were going to be good? And it's all back to earth, or did they just have a bad week and they'll get this thing sorted out?
Yeah, well, I think we bought into the scoreboard.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah, right. I think that's right.
And along with that, we bought into the third down stats. You know, they had some good get-offs on third downs in those first couple of games, but how many of those were self-inflicted by the Redskins and the Bengals? So, you know, that's kind of, you know, that would be an interesting stat to follow, right, David? How many self-inflicted third down wounds do offenses have in games? And by that, you know, quarterbacks throwing short of the sticks, quarterbacks getting sacked, drops. What else would you kind of classify in that? You know, in other words, how many times was it the defense getting a stop on third down? And look, I understand this is a chicken and egg, right? Because a right scheme or right look might cause a quarterback to throw underneath. But I think where you know where I'm going with this. You know, how many times was this a pass defense or a good play, a nice tackle underneath or something like that on third downs? And speaking of third downs, it's not Alex Smith's wheelhouse. I mean, if you stay on schedule in this game, you know, one guy we kind of really didn't talk about, Dave, was Jamaal Charles, and I think you and I probably both agree he's probably not going to play in this game. He's been limited both days here so far for the Chiefs, and with their bye coming up next week, I think I would be shocked if Jamaal Charles plays against the Steelers. And here's one other name, Charkandrick West. Even though he's kind of the backup to Ware, he has not practiced Wednesday and Thursday because of an ankle. So, you know, that's their backup running back to Ware that might we'll have to watch, see what happens on Friday with him. But when you get back to Alex Smith, I mean, we know that I've studied him enough. I know it seems like Steelers have played these guys every week for the last 4 or 5 years, but you know, not great with the deep ball. I mean, his accuracy's not there. Now, I do expect him to try to attack the middle of the seam with Kelce, like we saw last year. But, I mean, how many times is that going to happen during the game? The thing is, if the Steelers' defense can stay on schedule here on first and second down and set up these third and sixes and third and sevens, that's where they're going to get off, and that's where Alex Smith takes these brutal sacks. I mean, David, I went back and timed. I found me a new stopwatch online, David, a little toy to play with that kind of really makes it easy to time snap to throws and snap to sacks and all like that. So I've been kind of playing with this thing the last couple of days, and I went through and timed all 9 sacks of Alex Smith so far this season. I think eight of them were over 4 seconds. I mean, snap to sack, 4 seconds. That's a long time him holding on to that football. So, you know, I would expect him to do that, to have to hold on to the football during this game. And I'm going to go out on a limb here, David. I have another bold prediction. In addition to listeners having to start suggesting they start Antonio Brown this week, I'm going to predict the Steelers have at least one sack in this game.
Oh, that is a limb. Yeah, then they'll be ahead of Bryce McCain, because right now they're tied. Bryce McCain got a sack last night for the Dolphins, and so he tied the Steeler total. Had that going.
Did you hear Keith Butler on Steelers Nation Radio yesterday talk about, and really kind of piggybacked onto what Mike Tomlin said during his
got to win the 1-on-1.
Yeah, I mean. You hate to boil it down like that, right? But, I mean, is that what you're seeing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, nobody's beating anybody.
Yeah, you know, you'd probably maybe like to see a little bit more, I guess, exotic. But, I mean, look, how much do you really want to blitz a quarterback? Did you see the numbers that I've release numbers I put up on Carson Wentz the other day?
I did not.
Yeah, I mean, look, I didn't post those to kind of make excuses for what happened and the lack of the lack of them being able to get to Carson Wentz. But boy, I mean, look, we knew the short distance of the passes and everything that went along with that, but he really was getting the football out of his hands quite quickly. And I'm going to read you off some of these some of these numbers real quick here. Let's see here. Wentz only threw 9 passes more than 10 yards past the line of scrimmage in the game during Sunday's game. 19 of his throws included a football being out of his hand in 2.5 seconds or less. And and the last time I saw reliable numbers, David, the medium sack time in the NFL was around 2.7 or 2.8 seconds after the snap. So 19 of his throws, and you know, I'm sure you could probably roll through each game, David, and it'd probably half the throws are out of the quarterback's hands in less than 2.7 seconds. But less than 2.5, I mean it's very tough to get a sack during that time. It's not an excuse. What you've got to do, and Mike Tomlin said as much, is and where Mike Tomlin is the most disappointed in his pass rush was really in the first two games against the Redskins and the Bengals, because when you have teams behind the chains and playing from behind in predictable down and distance situations, that is when we should be seeing these sack numbers. It's more, I don't want to say acceptable, but it is really more acceptable when you have a team like the Eagles kicking your ass and are unpredictable and getting the football out of the quarterback's hands because they're staying on schedule. So, you know, something to look for going forward. I think they're going to get multiple sacks against Alex Smith if they're able to stay on schedule and keep them behind the chains on early downs.
All right. Well, you know, pretty straightforward stuff. They got to do better. Cam and Tuitt got to do better. Jarvis got to do better. You know, we'll see if James Harrison gets more snaps. We're going to see new guys in the secondary. I'm telling you, I'm really excited for this game, as I was last week to see Carson Wentz and to see how the Steelers' offensive line handled the really solid front for the Eagles. And the answer was the Eagles won those battles. We'll see what happens in this one. See how the Steelers' passing game does against the Chiefs. Maybe a shorthanded Chiefs secondary, and to see, you know, with Le'Veon Bell back in there, and then to see all these new guys play, and if this defense can finally step up and you know, make plays. We talk about, you know, the plays they made. Well, you think about what have they gotten, Dave, in the first? Did they get any turnovers in the Eagles game? None, right? The Eagles haven't turned it over yet. So they have 4 turnovers. One was a James Harrison interception with 10 seconds left on the clock that probably could have been overturned. One was James Harrison creating a fumble on Tyler Boyd, which was a huge play in the game. That was looked at being overturned. One was the last play of the game, Gio Bernard lateraling it and Cam Hayward picking it up. So that was completely insignificant. And what was the fourth? The fourth was Ryan Shazier's pick, and that was an important play. But you know, so they played three games, and yet they've had two significant turnovers. They had two that were didn't matter at all. They need to, you know, and so put in there with the one sack, put in there the, you know, two turnovers, and you know, they haven't done much. You know, they've been good in the red zone. That's what they've done.
Should we track? You know, I get all these stat ideas that come up in my head. Quality turnovers. You know, look. Yeah. We already, Alex and I have already talked about quality of sacks before. You know, not all sacks are created equal. If you know what I mean.
Sure. That's why I keep pointing to the fact that Harrison had three in that fourth quarter against Indy last year when it was, you know, 41-10 or whatever it was.
Right, and I mean, so far you could look at the Steelers' turnovers and say only one quality turnover, right? I mean, because let's face it, let's take our black and gold glasses off here. That turnover at the end of the Bengals game, that was a little bit of a gift, right? I mean,
oh yeah, the two turnovers at the end of the games were meaningless,
right? And then you know, say what you will about the, we'll go ahead and give Harrison credit for the for that interception that he had. We'll obviously give Shazier credit for it. So two quality turnovers so far, right now, and even
Harrison for the fumble he caused, not for the interception,
not for the interception.
No, not with 20 seconds left and up, you know, 20
okay,
points.
Okay, all right. Well, regardless, they're minus one, right, in takeaway giveaways, and that's simply not going to cut it. I mean, we got to start seeing some putos, David, right? I mean, you see all these other teams get points off of turnovers. It's time for the Steelers to start getting short fields in that area. And more than anything, they've got to get off. It's one thing to get off on third down when the football is on the other team's side of the football field versus them, you know, getting off on third down and them kicking a field goal against you as well, or punting from midfield and pinning you back as well. So let me ask you this. Is this a bigger test for the Chiefs or a bigger test for the Steelers this weekend's game?
Well, the Chiefs are expected to lose. So, you know, it's obviously there's more pressure on the Steelers. So in that respect, I think it's for the Steelers. I do. I think, you know, the Steelers just shocked everybody who follows football with their performance last week. The Chiefs, you know, they're coming off a win against the Jets team that is going to be in the battle for the wild card. So, yeah, I think it's a bigger game for the Steelers.
Justin Gilbert, we already talked about this. You got to put him out there on kickoffs. I mean, what do you have to lose, right?
It's been a mistake that they didn't do it week one. So put him out, yes, absolutely. I keep asking every week, so hopefully this is the week. And hopefully we only see him once or twice.
Yeah, absolutely. And make the opposition at least think about kicking the ball out of the end zone and giving it to you at the 25-yard line, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would follow – if I were a coach and I thought my coverage teams were half good, I'd be doing what the Eagles did. I'm sure that Boswell can do this. I mean, you know, this is what you practice. So, yeah, you kick it down to the goal line, man. Kick it 1 yard deep or 1 yard shallow and go down and get the guys. Because if you do a good job on coverage, the guy's not getting to the 25. He doesn't have that running start. You know, your guys should be able to get down there. I thought the Eagles' strategy, and we've seen other teams do it, I think that's a great strategy.
I think so as well, too. We saw it a few times in that game between Miami and Cincinnati on Thursday night as well, too. You kick it and make that thing come down right about the one or right at the goal line, and some of those return guys just can't help themselves, I don't think. I mean, there's been a few that have been like too deep, and you're thinking, what are the odds, really, you know, of a guy returning that pass to 25? Just take a damn knee. If you catch that football in the end zone, my thought is you should be taking a knee. That's just me.
All right. Anything? One piece of I don't really know how to characterize the news on Josh Gordon, Dave. It's sad, but hopefully it's It's life-changing, as Josh Gordon, as I'm sure if you're listening to the podcast, you know, receiver for the Browns, led the league in receiving yardage back in 2013, I think, when he only played 14 games and had 1,600-plus yards. A dynamite physical, you know, wide receiver. And he's had, obviously, trouble with drugs. He's suspended for 2 games in 13, I think 10 and 14 the entire 15 season. He was tentatively reinstated in July. It would be after 4 games, so after this week. And he has voluntarily chosen to go inpatient rehab. And so that probably means the end of his Browns career. I don't know. I don't think it definitely means the end of his NFL career. He's choosing to do this. I don't think there'll be more suspensions on top of it. So he may be a guy on the market. But, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you were dreaming about the day that Josh Gordon came back with the first-round pick, Corey Coleman, who looked really good, now has a broken hand. And now you add Terrell Pryor to the mix, and you're not going to find three more athletic, dynamic guys than that, maybe in the league. I mean, but on one team, then it would felt like, you know, things could be pointing in the right direction. And unfortunately, he's still fighting his demons.
Boy, you talk about the return of the factory of sadness, right? They have had it there. And what, Joe Hayden's banged up now. It's just a mess over there. Run, Hugh, run.
By the way, I think he's done a great job. And you know that I'm all behind these Harvard guys and what they're trying to do and how they're building their team. And you know, I've talked about it pretty extensively on my show. Gotta like the fact that they've been out there and been competitive in these games. I mean, yep, they gave up a huge lead to the Ravens, but you know, had a chance to win last week with a new kicker and he blew it. But I don't think they're as bad as everybody says they are. And if they get this under the belt and then have a, you know, they have a ton more draft picks and they'll be picking at the top of the draft with what looks like a good quarterback class coming out, they can take some more shots at that position and see if they can get it right.
You think they'll be kicking themselves 5 years from now for not drafting Wentz?
Well, yeah, I mean, look, the Rams didn't draft Wentz, and he, you know, they had the first pick. So I think that's going to be easy to do. We'll see how all the, you know, they got a ton of picks out of that trade. So we'll see how they pan out, too. I mean, you know, if we were evaluating this RG3 Rams trade one year after the trade, you're thinking, wow, man, look at all the everything the Skins gave up. And then you go, wow, look at how good RG3 is. And now it turns out that trade didn't work for either team. The Rams did. They got a bunch of guys, but they didn't get a star out of it. And the Redskins are using the guy they drafted in the fourth round, not the first round. So we'll see. I'd certainly be betting on Carson Wentz right now after what I've seen.
About Wentz, what's your thoughts on him through the first 3 weeks of the season?
Well, great. And if you like really good football analysis, I had Greg Cosell on my show this week, who's one of my favorite guys. Watches a ton of film. Obviously, he produces the NFL Matchup show. And I asked him about the young quarterbacks, and I asked him specifically about Wentz, and he said, you know, you can find that ESPN PGH is our homepage, ESPNPGH.com. You just go under podcasts, and I had him on Wednesday, the first segment of the second hour, and he said he had Wentz by far as the top-rated passer coming out of last year's draft, just loves his mechanics, but loves his above-the-neck capabilities as well. And, you know, so we broke down Dak Prescott. Obviously, we haven't seen Goff, some of the other young guys. The guys who are, David, this is an amazing stat. The guys who are starting, having their first starts of their career this year, I think they're either 11-2 or 15-2. The young guys have been, you know, Simeon's undefeated, Wentz is undefeated, Dak's done okay, and who am I forgetting? I'm forgetting.
The kid in Cleveland that started this week, right? Is he?
Cody, yeah, I didn't count him. Cody Kessler, but somebody else is making regular starts. It'll come back to me. But anyway, so I would bet heavily on Carson Wentz.
Yeah,
right,
the thing is with him, and look, I you know, I liked him more than Goff. I'm on record as saying that coming out. I caught hell with Dak Prescott putting him in one or two of my mock drafts. I really liked him and was kind of, you know, fourth, fifth round for the Steelers, maybe if he would have been there. I was hoping, you know, maybe that's the guy you select. I think I'm more surprised with how Prescott has played, though, than I am Wentz. Now, here's the thing with Wentz. It's going to be interesting to see how he plays when he's not leading on the scoreboard, okay? Because you know, short passing on. Look, he can make the long throws. We've seen him make the long throws. But how is his decision making, and how is he going to play when he does have to hold on to the football another half a second longer, three quarters of a second longer? Personally, I think he's going to be fine, you know, as he grows in this thing. And I really think in 4 or 5 years we're talking, man, this Carson Wentz is a great quarterback. But I still think he has to make it through a section of these games where teams play those corners up, teams that are able to have to be able to get after him with a four man rush, that kind of thing. Once he gets kind of back that stage, then I think we'll have the full thing to kind of look at with him underneath the snow globe that we can say, all right, this is who he's probably going to become. But how can you not be impressed with him right now and Dak Prescott and even Trevor Siemian over there in Denver? Boy, what a great deep ball he threw through this last weekend against the Bengals.
Yeah. Okay, Dave, we should probably get to our picks, and but let me just remind our look at that, pulling up my the lines for this week, and it doesn't come up. Let me just remind Steeler fans about Brady Craig Oxane and mortgage rates being at or near all-time lows. If you're looking to buy your first home, upgrade, downsize, invest, purchase a vacation home, or refinance, that about covers it. You should contact Craig Oxane from First Advantage Mortgage. A lifelong Steelers fan and a Pittsburgh native, Craig is a nationally recognized lender that love to help you out, listeners to the Terrible Podcast. You can call Craig at 866-772-0471. That's 866-772-0471. Or apply online at blackandgoldlending. That's easy.com. Company NMLS 2551, NMLS 320399, Illinois Residential Mortgage Licensee, Equal Housing Lender. So we both got on the wrong side of things last night. We both, with our hearts, had the Dolphins, and their hearts weren't in it after Kenny Stills caught a 73-yard touchdown pass, which accounted for 73 of their 77 first-half passing yards, Dave, as the Bengals' defensive front manhandled the Dolphins.
Yeah, you want to talk about young quarterbacks, or well, he's not young anymore. Ryan Tannehill, I mean,
it's over. Yeah. Ryan Tannehill, if I'm Adam Gase, that is a one and done for Ryan Tannehill.
If Adam Gase can't continue to tie his wagon to this, right?
No, you take a shot with what's there for 1 year, and then you move on. And so that will be their first round pick, I would think.
Do they have, are they going to give Gase time though?
I'm sure Gase gets 3 years. I'd be shocked if not. I think they really like him, and
your boy's the backup there. Would you put Matt Moore in?
Well, if I got a man crush on Matt Moore. I mean, I don't know that I'd do it right here, but look, they didn't have Mike Pouncey. Their offensive line was kind of beat up, so I'm not going to put it completely on Tannehill. But you know, at some point here, you got to think about it. He's got weapons on the outside now. He's got some guys who can play.
Yeah, I think Tannehill, that pocket presence of him needs some. His internal clock, something's wrong with that, I think, and his presence is. And plus, it looks like he's a one look guy when he gets down in games as well too. He wants to hit his first option and go from there. If he holds the football past that, it seems like he usually goes down. But glad that's not our problem. But I'm with you. I don't see a long term future there with Taney. He should have got it by now, in my opinion.
Yeah. Hey, what, this is his fourth year?
Yeah, it's been a few, right?
Yeah. Well, it's at least his third. I think it's his fourth. But yeah. So you know, they don't have to worry about what's his name's wife complaining. Cornerback. What was it? Who was that?
Whose wife?
The wife of the corner who got cut by the, you know, the Dolphins, the one who used to go crazy on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Miko, what's her?
Yeah, Meek. Gaines?
No.
Gaines? Grimes, yeah.
Let's see. Tannehill was drafted, what, 2012?
Yeah, 2012. It was what, the 12th pick overall or the 7th pick overall?
Eighth
pick overall.
Boy, yeah. You do horrible on the Price is Right.
I got it. I just had to go through it in my head there.
All right, get us put these people out of misery and give them our picks.
All right, let's get to our picks. As I'm come on, man. Okay, my computer. I literally took my computer the whole time we were jabbering there to get these lines up, and still don't have them.
What do they call that in the radio business? A fill or what?
Yeah. Basically, trying to fill time.
A stall.
What do you got? Give me the first one or two.
Jacksonville and Indianapolis here. Let's see.
In London.
In London. 6:00. What is that? A 6:30 Las Vegas start. I'll be a pig and slop on Sunday. Looks like I'm showing Indianapolis 2.5 point favorites here.
Give me the Jags. I'm betting on the Jags playing a home game in London again.
Let's see. I will. Yeah, you know, I think the Jags are going to do something as well in this game. Look, I mean, Indianapolis, they've got issues protecting the quarterback, and their secondary is not all this. I think Indianapolis wins this straight up, but I think Jacksonville covers. I think this ends up being a right at a 2-point game, so they'll cover.
All right, Gus Bradley's. If there's a guy in the hot seat right now, Gus Bradley's probably right up there with anybody. He probably needs to win a game here sooner or later. Okay, the Browns go to Washington. Washington's 7.5. Maybe they figured it out last week. That was a huge win for them not to start 0-3 and lose another game in the division. They beat the Giants. But I'll take the Browns plus 7.5, as I've just been talking them up.
Yeah, I can't do that. No, I can't. Give me Washington. I mean, Washington wins this. The thing is, can they cover? I think they will.
Okay, we got... I'm showing no line for Buffalo, New England, and that's obviously based on the starter. You know, who's going to start at quarterback, Dave? What are you showing?
4.5.
Okay, give me the Pats. I mean, they're at home. They just decimated the Texans. Why wouldn't I expect this to continue?
Actually, 6, where it is on the board still, I'm seeing 6. The Pats by 6, so.
All right, I'll still lay it.
You'll still lay it? The slipper's got to come off once in these four games. I mean, certainly they're not going to go 4-0 without Tom Brady, right?
Well, they're one game away from going 4-0, and they're at home and no Sammy Watkins, so I don't think I'm doing right.
This is my upset special of the week. Buffalo straight up, and if not, at least they cover the 6 points.
All right, well, that'd be big for Rex if he gets out 2-2 now with a win over the Cardinals and then a win over the Pats. That would be impressive. Jets host the Seahawks. Jets getting 2.5. I know no one's gonna be with me on this, but give me the Jets at home.
Yeah, I can't do that either. I mean, as bad as Seattle has looked at times, boy, Ryan Fitzpatrick just was throwing the ball to everybody but his guys last week. Give me Seattle, David, to cover this.
Okay. Dave, I've changed my tune a little bit on the Falcons after watching them play on Monday night. I'm still not a huge Matt Ryan fan, but I'm a fan of what the Falcons are doing. And even though they give points to the Saints, I kind of like what they were doing on the defensive side of the ball as well. Give me the Falcons plus 3 at home against Carolina, and this is an important game for the Panthers.
This one's going to light up the scoreboard, right?
Yeah, well, the Falcons will, I think.
I think the Panthers will as well, too. With that said, I think Atlanta has enough weapons on offense here to do this. So I think Carolina wins it, but give me Atlanta plus the points.
Okay, the Lions go to the Bears. Lions, Tigers, and Bears. Lions minus 3 on the road. Give me the Lions.
Wow, give me the Lions as well, too. Chicago's just so beat up. I just don't see how they keep this close. Give me Detroit.
Texans minus 4.5 hosting the Titans. Big divisional game in a division that looks like maybe without J.J. Watt, that maybe it's more open than ever and nobody can seem to win. If the Texans win this game, they're in control of the division, I think, particularly if Jacksonville beats Indy in London. Give me the Texans minus 4.5.
Give me Tennessee plus the points here, David. What a big loss Watt is. I'm just not buying the whole Brock Osweiler thing just yet. He's going to have to give me more than that. You know, can you name another receiver not named Nuke?
Yeah, Will Fuller. Will Fuller, first round pick.
He's good for, what, 2 drops a game?
He's caught a couple of touchdowns. He's about to be okay.
And of course, Jalen Strong over there. Osweiler just not getting it done. Give me Tennessee plus the points in this game.
All right. We got Oakland at Baltimore. Big game here. Oakland obviously going east. The Ravens at home. The Ravens are 3-0, and I think it's fair to say they haven't been impressive in doing it, but they are 3-0. Well, I'll go with my heart. Give me the Ravens plus 3.5.
With your heart?
Give me the Raiders plus 3.5.
Okay. With that said, I think Baltimore has screwed me the last several weeks here. Look, they're at home, and this is a Oakland team that kind of been up and down so far. But with that said, I think Oakland's a better team than this. Kelechi Osemele wants to get like 4 or 5 pancakes in this game. I think this is going to be the difference in the game is how Oakland actually runs the football in this game. And I think they'll be able to run it in this game enough. Give me Oakland with the road upset in this one, David.
All right. I like it. Denver -3 at Tampa. Give me Tampa.
I don't know what to think here. I mean, is Denver due for a letdown? Jameis at times has looked fantastic. Mike Evans on the receiving end there. I think that defense of Wade Phillips is just going to be too tough, David. So give me Denver to cover on the road.
All right, Dallas -2 at San Fran. No Romo, no Dez. They've not been good with that, both those guys out of the lineup. This will be an interesting game as well, just to see how this rolls out. 4:25 start, obviously, along with the couple other games starting at 4:25. I'll take Dallas, Dave. I'm not, you know, Chip Kelly's done. He's been more competitive than I anticipated. The offense for San Francisco has been better than I figured it would be. This will be a test. If they can win this game, that'll surprise me.
Yeah, I think Dallas can still get it done here. Definitely on the ground with Zeke. Pencil me in for Dallas here.
The Saints go on the road to San Diego. It's Chargers -4. Bet over 100. The over-under is 53. I think it's the highest on the board. Take the over and give me the Chargers because the Saints can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you here on this one. Yeah, this is going to be a tough game away from the dome, I think, for the Saints. Give me San Diego to cover.
The Rams getting 8 in Arizona. Can the Rams defense kind of contain the Cardinals? Are the Cardinals going to have another bounce-back blowout after a poor performance in Buffalo where they got rid of their long snapper? I think 8's too many, Dave. Give me Aaron Donald and the Rams to make a game.
Yeah, I'm going to go. Arizona's going to win this game, I think. But I think the Rams can at least maybe keep this one close. So, give me the Rams with the points here. But like I said, I think Arizona wins this outright.
Okay, interesting. The two primetime nationally televised night games, both 5-point lines, which means, as we tell you, it means Vegas doesn't really know where to go with them. The Vikings are at home -5, Dave, and this is a tough one because I really like the Vikings a lot. And the Giants' offense can be very good. They've got the weapons now with the kid Shepherd from Oklahoma, OBJ, Victor Cruz. They can do some good things. They lost their running back. Shane Vereen's going to be out for an extended period of time. But I'm all over Minnesota. So give me the Vikings. I don't think they're going to give up more than, 16, 17 points. And I think Bradford will do it. So I'll take the Vikes -5.
Boy, what a defense. They can get after that quarterback, can't they? And I think that might end up being the difference in this one. Once again, the Giants, great passing attack. But they have the receivers. The thing is, can they give Eli Manning some time here? I think this winds up being one of those games where Eli throws like 3 or 4 silly picks, if you will. So because of that, I don't have a lot of confidence in this one for sure. I'm with you with Minnesota. I think Minnesota wins this straight up as well.
All right, Sunday night, 8:30 at Heinz Field. The Steelers take on the Chiefs. And I've thrown out 30-20, 30-20, and 30-17, and I was kind of right, and really wrong. this would be a good test for the Steelers. It'll be a good test in a lot of ways. Look, they're banged up. You see if some other guys can step in and play roles. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to have a big day. I'm with you. I think the Steelers' offense will bounce back in a big way. Let's return to the winning ways, and I'll go 30-20 again. Kansas City's going to move the ball some against the Steelers. I don't doubt that, but I expect a better defensive effort. Hard to do anything worse than they did last Sunday. So let's get back on the 30-20 train for the Steelers.
Yeah, everything I've seen, of course, everything I saw last week said the Steelers should have won it, pretty big as well, too. This is a perfect storm, I think, for the Steelers, to be quite honest with you. Even without Eli Rogers and some of these guys, I just think that if they can jump out to a big lead in this game, David, I think they're going to do to Kansas City what the Eagles did to Pittsburgh last week. In other words, you make them one-dimensional, and boy, if you make that offense, that Kansas City offense, one-dimensional, that's when the wheels are really going to come off, and that's kind of what I'm counting on in this game. I think they're going to sack Alex Smith multiple times in this game. I think they pick him off a couple of times as well, and I think this just kind of snowballs the other way against the Steelers' opposition. I don't think I've had the Steelers scoring over 30 points yet, have I? But I do in this one. I have one of those reverse scores for you. 31-13, and that 13 is only a result of a late touchdown by the Chiefs. I really expect the Steelers to roll in this game. I think here's something for you. Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell combined for over 350 yards from scrimmage.
Good gracious. Okay. Those are well, if you hit that one, God bless you, because I thought you were going to say 300 and I was going to say good gracious, and you added 50 on top of it. So, those would be I don't know necessarily historic, but those would be massive days from
two guys. Players over 350 yards of total offense. I'm pointing to the fence as I'm saying this. But I mean,
do you know who holds – here's a quiz question for our listeners. Do you know who holds the single-game receiving yardage record and what it is?
All right, send that to theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. All these guys are just going to get on the Google and the internets.
Do you know the answer off the top of your head?
I haven't thought about it, no.
Okay. Should I tell you?
Yeah, go ahead and tell me.
Flipper Anderson.
Flipper Anderson. I knew that at one time, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's 337, 339, something like that.
I mean, we could obviously see. I mean, it's not out of the question that Antonio hits or comes close to 200 yards, right?
He's going to have to hit a couple. He's going to have to break loose or hit a couple big ones. But every game he goes out, the number is 100 to start with, and then you just do make a couple big plays. Right.
So I mean, okay, let's say he gets 180. Yards from scrimmage within. I think there'll be a end around to him for like 15 yards in there as well. But regardless, okay, 180. That means Le'Veon needs 170 yards from scrimmage, and I think that's possible.
Oh, it's certainly possible. I'm going to bet against it because that's the right way to bet. But yeah.
All right, if I hit this, what kind of I get some.
I give you back some of your money.
Thanks a lot. Continue betting my money there. All right, David, you got anything else on this? Yeah, I think we both think that the Steelers roll big on this. Unfortunately, what will the narratives be if the Steelers don't win?
Injuries, turnovers.
Yeah, I think it's turnovers is the big thing here for sure. Okay, folks, we'll be back at it again on Monday. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M. Todd. You can follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show, theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you want to donate, go to SteelersDepot.com. Hit the donate button in the upper right navigational bar. All right, David, Sunday night it is. Going to be some late nights for me and you.
Yep, and I'll be at Atria's at PNC Park on the North Shore for a pregame show, 4:30 to 6:30 if you're coming down to the game. And, of course, we'll be at the Hyundai Club, Charlie Batch and I, 11:30 till who knows when, hopefully having better things to talk about this week. As always, thanks for listening to The Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.